Welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster.
So Rosa, talk to us about Osi and tell us some of those special memories that you have with Osi.
Oh, I have hundreds and hundreds of memories. They are very reasonable ones. I believe the most beautiful gift was when we two got married. We got married and I was working in a jean factory. I was making jeans in an assembling line. I couldn't speak English. And he called me up. We had a day off before we got married. And that day we decided to take a blood test because we were used of the European way. You take a blood test and then you go in and get married. You didn't marry without a blood test. So we went ahead and we did blood test. August the 1st, 1950. And we took the blood test and he had a day off and I had a day off and we were able to go get our blood test. But in the meantime, August the 15th, he calls me at the factory and he says to me, "Honey, the blood test is only good till today. After 15 days, it expires." And I said, and our wedding was set up for September the 3rd. And I said to him, I said, "How much does a blood test cost?" He says, $2. I said, no, we have to get married today. So, to me, that was a lot because it was 2 hours of work. I only was making $1 an hour that time. It was a lot of money, $4 to spend for blood test again. So I hung up, I go over to the fool lady, and I say to the fool lady, "Do you mind when I quit working early at 3 o'clock? And my husband set up the thing for 4 o'clock, we should get married in court. Otherwise, we had to take a new blood test." So I said to her, I said, "Do you mind if I take off and go get married?" And she said, "What are you talking? It's already 2:30. You want to take off next hour and get married?" She doesn't know what she's talking. So she goes and gets an interpreter to find out what I'm saying. So the interpreter comes over and she says, "What are you saying?" "I'm saying I'm going to get married 4 o'clock. She says, "I don't believe it. She worked all day without scruples. And now she's telling me the next 30 minutes she's going to get married. I do not believe it." And I took off. And I went out, I met my husband, and we went and got married at 4 o'clock. Next morning, I came back to work. And she says, "You said you are getting married. Why are you back to work?" I said, "Because my marriage was not, it was in court. It was not a regular marriage because I have to marry by the rabbi. We should be together. That's September the 3rd. And she said, "Oh, that's what it is." She couldn't understand what I'm talking. And I'm back at work. And I worked till September the 3rd. Till September the 2nd. And then I quit working in the jean factory because I took a week honeymoon. We were home. Our best time was in the backyard with the pitcher of water. But I think we were married by 3 or 4 days. I go into the kitchen. I baked a cake. Now, I didn't have any idea how to bake a cake. All I knew, I had flour. I had sugar. I had baking. I didn't have baking powder. I had baking soda. So I put in baking soda. And I mixed up, and instead honey, I didn't have any sugar too much. I had honey, so I put in honey. and I make the cake. I baked it, and I come in to my husband. I say, oh, honey, I have a surprise for us. And the cake went up by maybe around 14, 16 inches tall, beautiful cake. And I looked at it, and I took it out of the pan, and it was beautiful, and I covered it up. And I went in the room, and I told, honey, come on, I'm going to have a surprise for you. I make coffee, and I've got some cake, and I make the cake. When I opened up the cake was not more than an inch tall. It fell back. It didn't have baking soda. The baking soda got it down. My husband looked at me. I think the cake was not a surprise to him, but a surprise to me. There was no cake there. It was an inch tall. And I looked at it and I said, what happened to this cake? I said, I don't know. So I cut him a piece. He sat down and he ate it. He was very embarrassed. I couldn't eat it. He ate part of the cake. And the honest question, what happened the rest of the honeymoon? He stood, he was in the bathroom the whole time. That was our honeymoon. I'll never forget it. It was beautiful times. I cannot forget it. Sometime when I mess up something, I still remember my cake and my weak honeymoon.
Sweet. Sweet moments with Osi. Well, you know, since February is the month of Valentine's Day and people celebrate that, Rosa, what were some special, you know, Valentine's Day that you and Osi spent together throughout your time?
We very seldom took special occasions. It's always been special to us. Each time he came home, he was a special man anyway. So Valentine was a beautiful day. He used to always bring me some candy, and we sit and we talked about old times and new times, and we just reminiscent that we didn't plan anything big, like other people going out or doing something like that. No, we always stayed at home. It was nothing special to be out of the house.
Well, what made Osi special?
Osi was special to me because everything I said was okay. Somehow, he always managed to see the good in me instead of the bad. And no matter what I did or didn't do, he always interpreted for the best. Mm-hmm. That makes it special. He never argued with me. I am not good in reading and writing because I have a brain damage on my left side. And he always used to sit at night and read to me. And I used to listen to his stories.
What were some of your favorite stories he would read to you?
Whatever he used to get, magazines or anything, and we used to go to bed, and he used to turn on the light and sit down and read to me. And once in a while, I used to doze off, and sometimes he dozed off. And that was our evening spent together. He always used to, he said, oh, let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. And he was very good of reading everything to me because he was so much better than I was. He was very intelligent, very, very well read. And he used to like to tell me stories and read kind of books. He even read some of the Greek philosophy books once in a while to me. And I comprehend quite a bit out of it, and it turned me into the woman I am today, because I was pretty rough in my own self when I was youthful.
Talk about the influence that Osi had on you, because we talked earlier about Osi being humble and kind and helpful. Talk about that.
Oh, he was a very helpful man. He never saw anything wrong in nobody. He always used to see the good. I even have, every morning when I go to the swimming pool, I have a very good day when a real heavy woman walks in. When a real heavy woman walks in, it always takes me back. I almost can visualize my husband looking at me and saying, I give her credit. She find the bathing suit. And to me, the day is completed, because for a moment I saw him just as he used to stand up and tell me, I give her credit, she find the bathing suit. So even in that, he always used to see the best in a person.
tell us about, you know, when you and Osi first got married and those first few years. Tell us about your relationship and how it grew throughout the years.
The relationship was very, very unusual because we were married for about 6 or 8 months when he was drafted in the army. And he went to the army. He went to Columbia, South Carolina. And I was here in Dallas, left alone. And I moved into a place and I rented the room and I stayed in there. And then I believe that we were married. I mean, he was in the army for like a month and a half. And he says, honey, I want you to drop everything and quit your job and come on to Columbia, South Carolina. So I did just what he told me. I quit my work and I gave up my room. And I remember as I was packing, a big mirror for my dresser was standing by the door. And the woman that I was moving out, she was very angry at me. And the mirror was standing next to the door. And she jerked the door where the mirror fell down and it broke in 100 pieces. And I looked at her and I started laughing. And I said, oh, good luck. Because it was not a mirror broken. It was a purposely done mirror that I couldn't explain it to her because I saw her looking at that mirror before she even moved the door because she did it purposely. So I looked at the mirror and I said, Mazel Tov, the mirror has broken and I will have good luck. And she almost fainted because usually a mirror, when it breaks, is bad luck. Not in my case, because I watched her with her eyes. I'm very alert with my eyes. I'm still very alert with my eyes. And I'm aware of it. I saw what she did. And I left to Columbia, South Carolina. I went to Columbia, South Carolina. I left the Tuesday. And I thought I will arrive in Columbia, South Carolina Saturday. But instead, that surprised to me. I arrived Friday, and the day was very rough because I couldn't even order food as I was going. And I was 3 days and three nights on that bus and couldn't buy myself something to eat. But then I got very, very hungry one morning around 3 o'clock in the morning. We stopped on a bus stop and I pointed because I didn't know what I was ordering. So they brought me a big bowl of chili with crackers. 3 o'clock in the morning. I was eating crackers with chili. That was my meal. And I got to Columbia, South Carolina, and I look at the driver, and I said, this is Columbia, South Carolina. I said, no, no, tomorrow. He says, no, no, today. There was no reason. I mean, I couldn't argue with him. I said, what will I do? There was taxis there. I got a taxi. I took my suitcase, put it in the taxi, and I had the address to the camp, and I drove into the army base. Accidentally, I got a hold of his captain. I don't know. I didn't know English. And I couldn't speak at all. I was here for not even a year, and I couldn't speak English at all. So I got a hold of his captain. And I couldn't even tell him I had the address. And I pointed to the address, and I said, here, that's my husband. Husband, husband, husband. He said, what will I do with her? I could understand English, but I couldn't talk back. He says, what in the world will I do with her? She has a husband here. I understood everything he said, and I don't know what to do with her. He goes into another room. I take my suitcase, I follow him. That's not what American girls do. I follow him to the other room. He looks at me, he says, go sit down over there. I said, no, no, bring my husband. Here, this is my husband, my husband. That's all he could get out of me, his husband, husband. Because after he told me he doesn't know what to do with me, I said, find out a way how to take care of me. He took in a hurry somebody, sent them out to basic training. My husband was in basic training and got him in. And by the time he came back to the captain, the captain had a pass, a 48-hour pass, and a taxi in the front waiting for us and sent us to a hotel. And after that, the captain saw to it that every time, every weekend, he used to get a pass, but he could see my husband, his wife doesn't know how to speak English.
So talk to us, as the years went by and you learned more English, there is something that came along somewhere and some year in your life that you and Osi chose to be two of the founding members of the Dallas Holocaust Museum. Tell us about that.
To establish the Holocaust Museum, I was not the one who called the meeting. There was somebody else that called a meeting. And we were invited as being Holocaust survivors to come to that meeting. And we came to that meeting. And the meeting was, his name was Jacob. Jacob called the meeting. And we decided there that to become an organization, we need money. No organization can be started with no money. So we decided that every one of us that had attended and felt like we want to leave something behind, that when we are going, they will be able to remember that we had passed through Dallas. And that was the whole idea about the Holocaust Museum. And to do that, we called everybody to donate $5,000. Who could? Who could do more should give more. But the one that had a hard time, we all signed up for $5,000 each. That KM people had signed up. There's a plaque someplace. Well, I don't know. Somehow we cannot find it right to the present time. But it will show up because it's there. The 10 first people. To me, it's not Jacob who built that Holocaust Museum. It was the 10 people that donated the $5,000 or more that day. That's the one that built that organization. And we decided for only reason that we want to leave behind something that we had passed through Dallas.
Mm-hmm. A nice memory to leave that you'd been through here. The journey had continued.
I continued. I'm still a member of the Holocaust Museum. I do speaking engagement. I spoke thousands and thousands of hours. I volunteer to it. I do not get paid for it. I do it all free and willing. Whenever I give an interview or something, I never got paid for it. This is something that I want to give to society.
A wonderful gift to society.
A wonderful gift for society. That's all I feel like I've given. And there's no more to give.
As the love in your heart causes you to give that to society, like you and Osi then, yes?
Right. Mm-hmm. My love. We were very much in love, both of us. We respected each other. We honored each other. We knew I was not too educated, and I loved him because he had an education beyond my imagination. Mm-hmm. There's not too many smart people like him. So that's it. That's all I can say. He was one of the smartest guys I ever met.
One of the smartest guys you ever met. So Rosa, how about let's wrap up this interview time with this question, because you've seen so many relationships and so many problems where the love's not there or there's a problem.
Yes, I lost two boys and a girl. I had five children altogether. I have two living. I have one handicapped son, my oldest boy. His inner nerve have not got developed. He grew up with a low language, which is a very difficult situation to train a boy. But he reads and writes, and he's well capable to take care of himself. And that's all I could do. There's nothing else I could do. I was afraid he won't be able to read and write, but he does very well. And I'm very happy for that. And hope to go on with life, whatever I have left, and keep on speaking still. I still speak once a week. I speak for Holocaust Museum. I have groups of children. They're very nice. And the last group I had was the most outstanding group I ever had. After I finished up the speaking engagement, they all stood up in line and shook hands with me. And the teacher said, "Now you're all going to remember you shook hands with the Holocaust survivor." And that's a great honor to me. And I was very tired when I got home. 125 children had to shake hands with me. It was beautiful. They took pictures. And it's a very enjoyable couple hours I spend with them.
Is there a message of love you'd like to pass along as we wrap up today?
Be happy. Enjoy yourself. Don't forget the other people are around you. Look around. Sometimes we like to have things done for us. Some of them know how to express themselves. Some of them don't. So fill in the blank spaces. If there's a place where somebody fails to put in the right words or the right quotation, not everybody is intelligent to use the right words and the right quotation. So if you feel like they have brought in something they ask you to do, they may not use the right tactic, because it's not what you get in life, it's how you ask for it. And the thing is that for so much, and the English language is so rich and so full of things that you can really express yourself well when you put a little bit your mind to it. But if you don't use your brain or you're not capable, sometimes you bundle it. And sometimes people misunderstand you. So please be careful sometimes when somebody bundles something and try to understand them.
Thank you, Rosa Blum.
Thank you, God. Good one.
Thanks for listening to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster. Patty is a motivational speaker, writer, musician, and has an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. For more information, log on to www.pattyfoster.com.